Welcome to the New Breed Christian Community, where we're dedicated to deepening your spiritual walk and empowering you to live in the fullness of Christ. Whether you're joining us for the first time or you're a regular part of our community, we're so glad you're here. Get ready for an inspiring session as we dive into the Word of God together, growing stronger in faith and closer to our Savior. Let's begin this journey of transformation and spiritual maturity as we get into the Word of God by our lead steward.
So today, evidence. What is an evidence? I also want to encourage you, if you get this teaching properly, it will make, I dare say, all the difference. In fact, this teaching is something I feel every Christian ought to hear. Like, you need to hear it very, very well. What is an evidence? An evidence is something that furnishes proof. An evidence is something that furnishes proof. It is something that furnishes proof. And if you know the way I structure my communication, I would like to give you at least two or three definitions so that you understand it very well. So if that first one I said is too deep or the grammar is too much, let me go to the second one. An evidence is something that proves or disproves a claim. An evidence is something that proves or disproves a claim. An evidence is something that proves or disproves a claim. Number three, an evidence is anything that makes manifest or demonstrates or shows a fact. An evidence is anything that makes manifest, demonstrates, or shows a fact. So for instance, let me give you a very relatable example. If I call you and say, I've sent money to you, you can say, thank you, sir. And you actually are grateful to me. But if before the end of the day or the close of business for that day, maybe I told you this around 12 noon or 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and then by 9 p.m., you have not seen an alert, you're like, okay. Then maybe I get to talk with you again. And I say, how are you doing? How is everything? Fine. You say, thank you for the money, but I have not seen the evidence, the alert. Are you with me? Did you get what I just said? So I can say, but I sent you the money. I have sent you the money. You say, I understand. Thank you, but you need proof. Are you getting this? You need evidence. So by the time you see the proof, the evidence, your thank you may even be stronger. Are you getting me? It proves or disproves a claim. It makes manifest, it demonstrates a fact or shows a fact. If a person is accused of a wrong, before you can legally prosecute that person, you need proof. You need substantial proof. In fact, without proof, it will be difficult to convince anyone that he or she is responsible for what he was accused of. Those days in the university, in many universities, there were cases where you see a young man, they will say he's a cultist. And when you look at him, there is no trace. There is no evidence. But by the time they begin to bring out pictures of him in, is it Day Bam or Day Well or Vikings, By the time you begin to see that this guy, with all his quiet and sanctimonious look, so he was involved. Are you with me? So even though he looked good, he looked quiet, the pictures, the videos, although right now things are AI, don't believe videos like that. These are strange times. But as at then, when you bring videos and pictures and people that can testify that this guy, forget that he's quiet, we are proof, we are evidence, we are witnesses of what he can do. And so that will be used against him because there are enough proof. Many times a person who experienced something firsthand and is willing to publicly stand for what he saw can be an evidence. Are you getting it? It's called witness. He was there. He had a first-hand experience of that event. He can be a witness in the court against that thing or for the thing. And in the court, when he's cross-examined or when that claim is cross-examined, people can now decide whether or not to accept the claims of that event based on the strength of his witness. Are you getting this? Please, are you following me? I'm taking my time because by the time we are done with today's sermon, you will see how important this is. This is what God has called us to in Christianity. Christ has done something for all mankind. Christ has paid for our sins. He has forgiven us from sins. He has defeated the devil for us. He has snatched us from darkness and brought us into his eternal light. Are you with me? And he wants those of us who have encountered what he has done to be living proofs. Are you following this? He wants those of us who have encountered his transforming power to be proofs of that work. Such that when men encounter us, follow this, they encounter an evidence. Please, are you with me? So Christ has done something for all mankind. And he wants those of us who have encountered what he has done to be living proofs of that work, such that when men, other men encounter us, they encounter an evidence that quenches all doubt. Are you getting this? You missed a place to shout glory.
Glory!
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 No wonder the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses, proof producers. Are you getting me? You will be a proof producer unto Jesus, unto him. He says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Glory!
Glory!
So a witness is a proof producer, someone that brings evidence. Some years ago, there was a lion rain in Nigeria. I think it's last year or 2 years ago. He said, some people, you go explain tire, no evidence. See, evidence counsels argument. Yes, I can summarize. If you ask me, what is Christianity? You know what I will tell you? I can summarize Christianity in three words. Evidences of Christ. Are you with me? Yes, what we call the Christian faith is evidence. Praise the Lord. A witness is a proof producer, someone who brings evidence. And now, just like the example I gave you, that when a case is cross-examined in the court of law, people will stand up as witnesses, bringing evidence or proofs, either for that case or against that case. God wants us to be such witnesses, such that when Christ is examined in this world, when people are questioning the reality of Christ, when people are questioning the message of Christ, when people are questioning the work of Christ, they see witnesses, they see proof producers. Are you with me? That bring substantial evidence, so much that people have either two responses, either to humbly accept the truth or to willfully reject. Are you with me? The more evidence and witnesses a claim has, the more convincing it becomes. So like the example I gave, if somebody comes and says, don't mind that guy, yo, he's a cultist. And then 100 other people come and say, no, we know him, he's not, forget that person. You know the funny thing? He may be, he may actually be a cultist, but because the evidence is not enough, how can one person say he is? 100 other people are saying he is not. Who are we to believe? Are we not to believe the one that has more evidence? Are you getting this? Have you not seen cases where somebody was lied upon and the person did not have anything to prove that he was not the one? And he's trying his best to explain. Oh God, no be so it happened. Oh God, no be so it happened. It did not happen like this, sir. No. And every other person, they may have connived together. And they are saying, they are giving witnesses, false witnesses. So much evidence. And the guy is literally helpless. See, eh? Let me say it again. The more evidence and witnesses a claim has, the more convincing it becomes. I also wrote this down here. Please, you can write it down if you can. A claim can be the truth, but if it doesn't have substantial evidence, it stands to be rejected, misjudged, ridiculed, or even dismissed. A claim can be the truth, but if it doesn't have substantial evidence, it stands to be rejected, ridiculed, misjudged, or even dismissed. This is why we must talk about practical faith. Can you say after me? Practical faith. I'm not hearing your voices. Practical faith. Evidence. If a generation arises, and doesn't see enough substantial proof to the gospel of Jesus Christ in those who claim to have accepted it, that generation will begin to misjudge, ridicule, or even reject the most important thing that God prepared for them. Can I tell you the truth? That's what has happened in our generation. That is, see, you know how bad it is. Our last crusade made me know how much this generation, has lost. Will I call it faith? Yes, they have lost faith. This is the last crusade we had. When we posted the miracle of the deaf and dumb that got healed, in less than 3 minutes, we had over 100, that was on Twitter, over 100 reactions. 20% of them were saying, deceivers. I'm telling you, many people insulted me. Do you know that some people believe more in the power of the devil than in the power of God? They believe a witch can fly over their roof without aeroplane or tickets, without visa. They believe a witch can fly from Nigeria to London. But if you tell somebody that the Holy Ghost transported you from here without plane and you entered the US, they will say, guy, why are you the lamban? Why are you the lie? Why are you lying? Why? You see, you know what's happening? They have seen more evidence of darkness than of light. Are you getting me? That is why. It is easy for people to believe that with blood money or with some human sacrifice, you can become a millionaire overnight. But when you tell them that God, you gave a seed and God turned it around, they say, guy, why? Why are you? You know, they've watched movies too much. Are you following me? They've seen too many evidences. There is enough.
Yes, sir.
They know people who did blood sacrifice and their life changed. They know people. See, this teaching on evidence, we must address it as the church. I discovered that in this generation, there are more young people going to shrines. More young people are visiting Babalawo, juju priests. More young people. Are getting themselves, you know, somebody was saying that there is a revival of Ifa worship. In fact, last year, Ifa University was given a license, a university to be teaching people. The worship of Ifa has started again. You know why? Men are looking for evidence. How did the gospel prevail? And all those things died. When the missionaries came, they demonstrated a stronger evidence that made men to cast away those things. Yes, are you following me?
Yes, sir.
See, if that testimony will remain, that we must sustain the strong evidence. Yes, can you say I'm in practical faith? Am I talking to you?
Yes,
listen. Listen. If a generation arises and doesn't see substantial proof or evidence of the gospel in those who claim to have accepted it, that generation will begin to misjudge, ridicule, or even reject the very and most important thing that God has done for them. Please, are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Say it again, evidence.
Evidence.
Ha! When you understand what we are talking about, there are many things you will not say. You will never say again, it's not by miracles. It's not by God blessing. It's not by all these testimonies. It's not by all these testimonies. See. Evidence. The arguments online, you will not join them to talk about. People who argue against prosperity. I know that there are people who they have stretched the truth until it became a lie. They have destroyed the whole prosperity and even branded something they call prosperity gospel. But let me tell you something. We are not the ones that said that if you serve the Lord, he will bless your bread and water. It is God that said. Are you following me? Check the Old Testament. I know there are people who have gone too far and made statements and destroyed the biblical claims on divine provision. But listen, there was nobody in the Bible that served God and God did not have what you can call exceptional provision in their life. There was nobody. There was nobody that served God and there was no dramatic supernatural prosperity. Nobody. Nobody. Including Peter. He said, we have toiled all night. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word. Oh my God. Jesus said, stretch forth thy net into the deep. Launch into the deep. And Peter brought out something that it was too much for him. Are you getting what I'm saying? The first encounter with Jesus, supernatural abundant prosperity. But you know the balance there? Peter now dropped it and followed Jesus. There are many people, when they get a bountiful harvest like that, they drop Jesus and follow the fish. So God does not is not against you prospering, but God's against prosperity controlling you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? God is against prosperity controlling you. So get your bag of fish or your net breaking harvest of fish, but follow Jesus. But to claim, imagine Peter puts the net and he caught only one fish, and Jesus says, it's not by plenty fishes, it's not by, just believe me. Peter will walk away. Peter saw evidence. By the time he saw net breaking fishes that he could not take alone, he had to call another person. The Bible says he beckoned on his partners. Say, come and help us collect this thing. It is too much. Oh, it is plenty. Guess his response. He now kneeled down and said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Because he saw evidence. Can you say I'm a practical faith? See, our faith has evidence and we must show it. We must show it. And let me tell you, like we're going to see in this teaching, it is not us trying to do something so that God will not be angry, or how will I put it? It's not us trying to help God. We are not trying to produce evidence to help God so that people will not leave God. Listen, God believes that if you truly align with him, there must be evidence. If you truly have faith, and that's what I'm going to use the remaining part of this teaching for. If you truly have faith, it will show. If you truly have faith in the Lord Jesus, if you truly have accepted the gospel of Christ, it will show. There must be evidence. Father, there is understanding in Jesus' name.
Amen.
1 John chapter 1 from verse 1. I will recommend in this month, read these two books. The first epistle of John and the book of James. Now, look at the way he starts this epistle. Hey! See, if you're not reading Bible, I don't know. I don't really know what to say. Not to guilt trip you, but look at the way these people thought. Look, just reason the way these people. What did they encounter that made them talk like this? Let's read this epistle. 1-3, go. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Look, are you seeing what he's saying? He says, this thing was from the beginning. Hey, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, but we did not stop at hearing it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Which we have seen with our eyes. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. He said, the thing I want to tell you about is, first of all, it is from the beginning. But it is not just from the beginning, like one abstract concept, something that nobody has an idea of what it looks like. It is just faded in our mind. No! We have seen it! Are you getting this? Have you ever gone for evangelism before? And when you are preaching, you now tell them, let me tell you my testimony. You see the way their eyes just lit up. Like, let me tell you what happened. So, it's the same thing John is doing here. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. We did not just stop by hearing, we saw it, and then we handled it. Can you say I'm a practical faith? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. Are you seeing the way he's emphasizing? Now, and look at this, and bear witness. Remember what I said about witness at the beginning? Somebody with a first-hand encounter. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Verse 3. Everybody, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He's saying, what we want to bring you into is something that we heard, something that we saw, something that we looked upon, something that we have fellowshiped with. And truly, this our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Are you seeing the way he's introducing this book with practicality? This is important too. Everybody, verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Hey. So let me summarize what he's trying to say from verse 1 to verse 4. He says there is something we have encountered and experienced, and we want you to come into our experience. Are you getting this? There is a fellowship that we have with the Father. We have touched it. We have handled it. We have seen it. We heard about it. We have touched it. We have the practicality of it. And we want you to come into it, that your joy may be full. Hey, look at that phrase, that your joy may be full. One of the reasons why people stop having joy in Christ is that they stop having practicality. See, oh my God. When you get to a point where you no longer have the practical experience of the things you heard, your joy will be cut short. Have you ever prayed for a thing and seen the answer? Do you know how it feels? Your joy is full. In fact, that will be your conviction to go on. Are you getting this? For instance, I remember the day when Minister Chike walked up to me and said, Pastor David Okenerubo, you are a man of God. I said, I know. He said, I know you are a man of God. He said, but, no, I just have to tell you. I said, what happened? Why this whining, sir? Why this? He said, I looked at my notes some days ago, and I remember in the classroom everything you said has happened. I was in that service. There was all the things you wrote down that you said that will happen. Sir, it has happened. Sir, please say more. Start saying new ones. You know, this my son I'm talking about. Because of that encounter where he saw some things happen, he was the first person that put me on the spot one day. We're having a service. He went and brought a lady that was with crutches to service. I said, yeah. He said, so my pastor is a man of God. Actually, what happened? We're having a service. While in the service, my right leg began to pain me seriously. And that's at then I had not really known how the healing anointing works with me, but I knew better now. But that day, my leg was paining me. So I knew I didn't come with pain to this service. We are just about to close, oh. This was classroom. We are about to close. After a while, I got spiritual intelligence. I said, there is somebody here. You came with a pain on your leg. There were two ladies that raised their hand. I said, no, this person, your right leg. And it was a particular woman. We prayed for her. 1 week later, she drove. She was not a member of our church. Her daughter was a member at then. Her daughter brought her. She drove to church and said, please, we are closing. She just ran inside. Please, I want to share my testimony. Everyone was like, okay. I was the one that they said had a problem on my knee. I want to just say, 3 days later, the deep pain went. It has been there for many years. More than 10 years. This thing disappeared and never came back.
Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So when he saw that, he brought the other lady. And God showed himself. That lady walked. That was the first time in my life where I prayed for someone and the person walked without that crutch. After that service, people started saying in the church, our pastor has an anointing. Our pastor has an... Before, if they tell them, they'll say it's true, amen, amen. But the conviction never settled. Are you getting that? Because of that testimony that lady had, she came again. This time she was scheduled for an operation on her nose. She said, let us pray together before I go for the operation. We prayed for her. She went for the operation and they said there is no need for operation. You know what's happening? Her faith had gone to another level because of what she encountered initially. That which we have seen. Declare unto you. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. See, one of the reasons why people are not enjoying their Christian experience is that their joy is not full. And because if their joy is not full, it's because there are many things they have heard and they have not experienced it. You know, when David made that prayer, restore to me the joy of my salvation. One of the ways God restores to you joy, he brings it to a point in your Christian life where you start experiencing the things you have been hearing about. You know, after the crusade that day, I can't forget the joy on the faces of the Lagos brethren. One met me and said, Pastor David, I have never seen a miracle life in my front before. I was like, She said, I have never been there. I've always watched it on screen. I've been watching on screen. But I have never been somewhere where they prayed for a blind person and the person saw. They prayed for a deaf and a head. I've never been there. But today was my first day. You see, I cannot explain how I'm feeling. Are you getting me? That's what the person said. I can't explain how I'm feeling. That's why Israel was a strange community. Do you know what it means? That you are in a land where the supernatural is natural. People are walking. They are walking. Cutting trees close to a river. Somebody's axe fell into the water. They go and tell the prophet, Elisha, my axe has fallen. First of all, why would you go and tell a prophet that your axe fell? Dive and pick it now. But they are too used to the supernatural. They don't think well again. It's prophets that will tell first. They are too used to the supernatural. The prophet now said, okay. Iron sinks. Wood floats. Bring wood. Let's do exchange. He threw the wood inside. The wood sank. The iron floated. He picked it and said, take. If you were there, you will not continue the cutting again. You will sit down and start thinking. So, if the enemy meet that guy and say there is no God, he may slap you. You know, somebody met R.W. Schambach and said, I don't believe in miracles. I don't believe in God. All these things, you poor skit makers. This argument has been there since. You poor theatrics. That's what he called it. I don't believe in all your theatrics. He said, don't worry. There's no problem. You must not believe, but go and ask that woman that her child got healed. Go and ask her if she believes. Say, go and ask all the people that had evidence. Go and ask them if they believe. Are you with me? Now, I'm explaining this thing like this so you will know why this thing is very important. We must never get to a point as a church where we no longer have evidences. There must be things happening consistently, that is a steady reminder you have not believed cunningly devised fables.
Yes, sir!
Are you with me? Look at verse 5. Jesus. Today we're meditating on this thing. As you know, when I started bouncing around. Somebody that stays with me came out and said, Pastor, is everything okay? I said, it's okay. Look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This then is the message that we have heard and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no sickness at all. This then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no being stranded at all. This then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no confusion at all. This then is the message we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no defeat at all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This then is the message you have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no failure at all. Hey, Jesus. This then is the message we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no addiction at all. Say after me, God is light. This is the message that we have heard and declare, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now look at verse 6. It says, now this is where the bone of contention comes. This is where the reason why we must do this teaching series comes. This is where it is. Everybody read verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go. If we say, oh, I'm not convinced. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Because there are people that can claim that they have fellowship with him. We can say we have fellowship with him, but if you look at our life, if you examine us, there are some places that there is darkness. Because remember where it's coming from. This then is the message. God is light, and in him is no darkness. How can you now be in fellowship with lights and have darkness? Something is not quite correct. Because, see, that's the problem we have today. There are too many people with the name of Jesus who have announced to the world that they are in fellowship with God, who is light. But remember where we started from. When you cross-examine them, there is not enough evidence to prove that they are in fellowship with the one that is light. You still see patches and patches of darkness. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is why the Christian faith currently is under fire. We need more evidence. And like we're going to show, the evidence, there are different layers of the evidence. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And guess what? The lie is not about what we said, but what we do. We lie and do not the truth. There is something about the truth that we are not doing yet. That's why we need to teach practical faith. So, he's saying that if you claim that you are in fellowship with him and you walk in darkness, there is something about the truth that you are not yet doing. It's not about what you said. There is a demonstrative lie. Akuria bala sunimai. You know, with all sense of humility, I'm still growing, but by the grace of God, I have seen enough signs and wonders to believe that God has called me for a miracle ministry.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me? Yes. I've seen enough. All kinds of miracles. Job miracles, money miracles, contract miracles. We've seen the dead come back to life at least 3 times. We have seen it come back to life. The dead come back to life three times. In fact, that was when I knew that is not by miracles that ministry grows. It was then I knew that there are many other factors. Because we have seen people leave the wheelchair. We have seen the blind see. But let me tell you, in spite of miracles, I have discovered, you see this teaching. There is something about the truth you are not doing. If miracles will continue and become consistent in our normal lifestyle, there is a kind of training in the truth you must have. I'm seeing how important we cannot play with teaching ministry. We can't. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And there is something about the truth we are not doing. and do not the truth. Do you know how many people, they say they believe in Jesus? And many times you know they are sincere, but you look at their lives. That's why people are questioning. Have you not seen people say things like, but he says he's a Christian, but every time he's smoking, every time he's drinking, every time he's womanizing, but I thought he's a Christian. Are you hearing things like that? You know what is happening? The evidence is not looking like the claim. Are you getting me? You are a Christian. You follow everybody, collect bribe. Okay, what is the difference between you and us? The evidence is not looking like your claim. Then look at verse 7. Oh, let me read from verse 6 into verse 7. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light. Everybody read verse 7 together. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, this is why the Bible must be taught. If you just read it like this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from all sin. Some people are trying to make sense. What's the sense about this? Let me break it down for you. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, it will be obvious that we have fellowship with him. It will be obvious that we have fellowship with him, one with another. People will see this person actually has fellowship. Remember where it's coming from. If we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, it will be obvious that we have fellowship one with another. Are you with me? It will be obvious that men have begun to mingle with God. True. They are one with the Lord, and the blood of Christ has cleansed them from all sins. Are you getting this? Say after me, I will walk in the light as he is in the light. It will be obvious that I have fellowship with God. My life will be full of evidence. Some of you are not talking. Say after me, my life will be full of evidence. Say it again, my life will be full of evidence. My life will be full of evidence. Pray in the spirit 1 minute before I go on. Telubra giba sundege de geshekateli katusa. De ruska tapandu rupa seketelia. Shedem redege de pelege shekete. Ikaraba baba shakapa. Dele membru kapanzu teketelia. Ila raba baba gashakata. Lika barande geshekatelia. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I prayed. Amen. So, in the remaining part of this sermon, I'm going to prove to you that wherever there is faith, there must be evidence. Are you getting me? Hebrews 10, verse 35. Let me tell you something. You know, God is saying something that must be said. Are you getting me? That's why we are here. That's why we are here. When you come for a service at New Breed, come ready to, it's time to grow again. It's time to shift again. Are you with me? There are some services that it's time to go deeper in the Lord. Some services it's time to go higher. Are you with me? Sunday service was for depth. This one is for height. Yes, sir. Are you getting me? Yes, sir. Hebrews 10 verse 35. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. Verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. So what is talking about? He says a little while and Christ will show up. Jesus is coming. The kingdom of heaven is coming. The Lord is coming. Are you with me? For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. So we are expecting. We are hoping for the coming of Christ. Are you with me? We are expecting the coming of Christ. We are expecting the reign of that kingdom. We are expecting it. Hebrews 11 verse 1. So Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Oh my God. Faith is the substance of what we are hoping for. So what are we hoping for? The coming of Christ. We are expecting for his return. The life of faith now is to give substance to the reality that Christ is coming. I wrote something here. There's the kingdom of heaven that's invisible to him, to men. There is the kingdom of heaven that's invisible to men. We call the faith life a life that when it manifests on the earth, it becomes an evidence or proof that there is another kingdom. There's another reality and civilization that is higher than this current one. For instance, when they give a decree in Egypt that all the male firstborns or all the males of the Israelites should be handed over to the soldiers to be killed, and everybody's obeying, somebody else decided, no, I will put my baby in a basket and put it on the river. What are you listening to? It is obvious that you are not hearing what everybody is hearing. You are listening to another invisible kingdom. Yes, sir. Are you getting this? Yes, that action you are taking is an evidence that you are not under the same condition the way everybody is. How are you sure that the baby will survive? How are you sure that the crocodile will not eat the baby in the water? Faith. It is the substance of things not seen. That action that you are taking is a sign that you are listening to another kingdom. There is another kingdom reigning there. Are you getting this? Yes, sir. Say after me, evidence. What we call the faith life is a life that when it manifests on the earth, it becomes an evidence or proof that there is another kingdom, another reality that is higher than this current one. See, wherever there is faith, there must be evidence. Why would Joseph refuse to sleep with Potiphar's wife when there was the obvious path for comfort in Egypt? So, Joseph is in Potiphar's house. And the wife of Potiphar has put her eyes on you. To butter your bread that you already have. You have started getting bread in Egypt. Just butter it by aligning with her. Why will you reject that obvious express way to glory? That guy, calculate them now. So now, you were a slave. You are now enjoying in this house. This woman likes you. Just agree. Just agree. Let everything be fine. But he said no. That means he has a conviction that you are not seeing. That action is an evidence that there is another kingdom influencing him. Maybe you did not know that that kingdom existed. But by the time you see a man respond to that kingdom, true. There is something bigger than what is here. Evidence. Wherever there is faith, there must be evidence. Israelites are going to conquer a nation. People carry swords and spears to fight. You carry trumpets to blow. To blow at the walls of Jericho. You know what? You know when we hear walls of Jericho, we are thinking about our wall. Let me give you perspective. Rahab's house was on the wall. It's not, the wall is not this one that you can just drill hole and put your AC. Rahab's house was on that wall. In fact, it is said that 2 to 3 chariots, I even heard more, chariots can run side by side on that wall. Archaeologists today say that when we say the wall of Jericho fell down flat, it's not the way people are thinking that it all fell like this. It sank. It pieces and sank. Are you getting what I'm saying? will you make that possible? With trumpets? You see, that action of obeying God and blowing trumpets is an evidence that they are listening to another kingdom. There's another kingdom that is invisible that's influencing this one. And that action they are taking is a sign that they are listening to something else that you are not hearing. They are dancing to the beat of a different drummer. And then, by the time the wall fell, that's another evidence too. It's a proof that their evidence was not false. Yes, are you getting me? Yes, wherever there is faith, there must be evidence. When you see that kind of thing, it is proof that these Israelite people, they have the backing of a kingdom that is beyond the laws of physics. So much to go on with. You know that scripture that says faith without works is dead. Are you blessed today?
Yes,
we'll go deeper into this on Sunday. I will close with this. There are four areas where evidence must show. On Sunday, we go deeper into. There are four areas where evidence must show. In fact, you can summarize what we've gotten from Christ as, with these words, we have been called into a life of dominion. But these are not the areas, but these are just different words. You can either call it victory, you can either call it dominion, you can either call it glory. But let me give you the areas. Number one, victory over sin. The evidence of Christ's work must manifest as victory over sin. Number two, victory over Satan. Victory over Satan. Number three, victory over human nature. this one, victory over the human nature, over the fallen nature that manifests in hatred, in vileness, in our character. There must be, are you getting what I'm saying? Your character must be an evidence that you have been inundated, or you have been sucked into a different kingdom. There's a way somebody will be behaving here. You know he's not in Nigeria. Are you getting what I'm saying? If a Ghanaian comes here, hello pastor, from his tongue, hello pastor, I gave pastor my word. You will just say, this guy is either from South Africa, Zimbabwe, or Ghana. This one is not a Nigerian. There is a way somebody will come here dressed with fig leaves, just gather leaves like this, and tie it, and walk around. He said, the culture this guy is demonstrating here. Please, where are you from? Somebody said Zulu. Don't worry, we send you to preach there. Are you getting this? So, victory over sin, victory over Satan, victory over the human nature. Over the human nature, you can put in bracket, change in your character. And number four, victory over earthly limitations. Victory over earthly limitations by the supernatural workings of God. These are four areas you must see evidence. See, when you check it very well, these four areas reveal the Christian faith. Did you get what I said? When the sin that holds everybody does not hold you, when the thing that everybody is struggling with, you have the victory over it to say, you are not with us. You have evidence that you belong somewhere else. When the demonic influences that hold every other person down does not hold you down, it is an evidence that you belong to a different kingdom. Are you getting what I'm saying? And this is important. Okay, Christ has defeated the devil. How do we know? Show us. Are you getting this? We'll talk about it. Jump on your feet.